From runasradio.com, you're listening to Run As Radio, the internet audio talk show for IT professionals with Richard Campbell. This is Brandon Nguyen announcing show number 727, from SCCM to Intune and back with guest Greg Shields. Recorded Friday, August 7th, 2020. Run As Radio is produced each week by Sound Thoughts LLC. For more information, visit soundthoughtsllc.com. You can follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/runasradio.
Thank you, Brandon. This is Richard Campbell, and thanks for listening to Run As Radio. My returning guest today, Greg Shields, who is the author, evangelist with Pluralsight, and is a globally recognized expert on systems management, virtualization, and cloud technologies, and apparently is very fun at parties. See, I did the nice version of that. We were teasing each other about it earlier, right? It's like, he thinks he's fun at parties, but who really knows?
you ask for a bio, and I these days, anymore, like these really long bios are just kind of get silly at some point, so.
I like reading a couple of sentences, at least giving somebody an idea of, you know, your experience. You still an MVP, too?
Well, not so much anymore.
Yeah. You know,
it happens. It's funny, actually, the MVP program kind of evolved. It's very developer-centric now, and the ops folks have gotten short shrift, I think.
they got cut, you know, without a doubt. You know, it was that shift to the cloud.
Yeah.
They definitely pushed on, you know, the MVPs that helped move Azure seats or Azure compute, so to speak. You've worked with Pluralsight for forever, but brand new course out now, the whole Microsoft Intune thing?
Yeah, I put those out earlier this year. Actually, it was actually a rather stressful experience. I actually put out 4 courses on Intune during the very first days of the pandemic.
Oh, wow. When everybody cared about Intune in a big way.
It was. And it was like no one pointed at me and said, get this done. It just felt like the world is experiencing pain right now. And like, I felt like I had to get those courses out to at least help people where possible.
So did you actually start it when the pandemic was underway, or was it already in the works and then suddenly it became incredibly urgent?
It started before.
Okay.
And I think I got the first course out before the whole lockdown hit. And then it became extremely urgent, like just personally urgent. I wanted to help people, you know, get that knowledge because everyone needed to make a very quick, very large shift.
Yes.
To people not working inside the offices anymore.
Yeah. And just dealing with the challenges of, I've had plenty of IT folks I've talked to who literally took the office machines and sent them home. And then you're trying to live domain joined and doing updates and so forth over the overwhelmed VPN.
The bizarrest part about the, you know, everyone going home was, as someone who has worked out of a home office now for like 15 years, hearing people talking about working out of a home office, you know, for 15 hours when it first happened, like, I've been doing this for a while. What do you need to know?
Yeah.
Yeah, it is hard.
Yeah, it is hard. And the whole pandemic series that I've done on Run As has been very popular with folks. It's the checklist of, have you thought about this? Have you thought about that? And I think we're in the good story arc now where it's like a lot of that crisis stuff, which was April and May, you are where you are now. Now it's sort of cleaning up the mess, getting offices ready for going back into and dealing with, you know, what security breaches did we have? What's locked down? What machines got lost, got broken? So we're still cleaning up, and yet the pandemic is far from over.
Yep. It's still going to be a while. And frankly, I think a lot of people are going to be continuing doing this for a while. And so
the genie's out of the bag.
These Intune courses are really helpful. Just understanding how to deal with people that aren't directly in the office is a wholesale mind shift. I think a lot of people who did it in a very different way. And you and I, before we came on, were talking about, well, what do we want to talk about? And, you know, this idea of my own personal journey from being, I think I used the term a SCCM bigot before. I don't know if I can say that, but.
let's just call it wisdom, right? I mean, you were an MVP in that space. You've literally taught folks ConfigMan for a long time.
I had and have been using Config Manager since SMS 1.2. And if that doesn't date a person.
And it's still a product, right? Like they're actually on the rapid update cycle now. Like they've modernized that to the cloud world.
It, you know, it's funny. So my old business partner, back before I came here to Pluralsight, Don Jones and I had a business together, and I was pointing the finger, wagging the finger at him the other day, because for a long time he would tell people that it's going away. And I'm like, no, you don't understand. Like, SCCM is not only not going away, but it's getting, out of all the old system center tools, it is the one still getting the updates on a very regular basis. It is still a first party. It is still like a priority there inside Microsoft's portfolio.
Well, you got to update apps, right? Like, you've got to maintain systems. Like, there's just too much going on. Although they're changing the name again. Is it Endpoint Manager now? Like, what is Endpoint Manager versus SCCM?
You can think, and this is a funny story, but I guess it's not a funny story. It's just a lot of name changes. But if you think of MemCM or MECM, I don't even think they know what the acronym is yet, but Microsoft Endpoint Manager Configuration Manager. Ugh. Think of that as the umbrella. So, you know, what before we thought of as System Center was the umbrella for a lot of different tools. Think of MemCM as the umbrella for SCCM, for Intune, for some of the other Azure-based services like desktop analytics and stuff like that. Just think of it more like the umbrella, with the actual application then being SCCM.
Right. And so, I mean, in that sense, it feels like if Configuration Manager is moving out from under the System Center brand and over to this other world, I fear for the System Center brand then, because to me, it's been the anchor tenant of System Center since day one.
Yeah, we have. If you look at the evolutions that have happened to some of the other, or really any of the other System Center tools,
right?
Like, the differences between 16 and 19 for SCOM is, I think, 5 bullet points.
Right.
So you're right in that. I mean, if you're using them, by all means, continue to use them, but the level of attention is not there like it once was.
Yeah, that's fair. I think that's a fair description. Like, Microsoft tends not to just blow products up that, A, they sell licenses for and make them money. But there's a question of, is it driving you to the future or not? Which SCCM clearly got on the, we're helping you get to the cloud bandwagon. The other products, not so much. Like, I kind of like a good ticket manager that ran in the cloud, right? Like, that wasn't a set of VMs. Like, there's some possibilities there. It's just a question of what they're focused on.
Service Manager was sort of a casualty of its own hyper integration with the rest of System Center.
Right.
Like, I know we're going to talk about Intune here at some point, but, you know, Service Manager, if you adopted all the other System Center tools, Service Manager fit into it really well.
Yes.
But if you didn't, it didn't quite as much.
No.
So you had this really cool tool that did this one thing really well, but only if it had its integrations in there with all the other pieces to do the types of automated type things that you wanted it to be able to do. So it's one of those tools where, you know, I can't recommend it unless you get involved with everything.
All right. Why do I want to use Intune? I'm happy with SCCM. I don't care that they call it Endpoint Manager. What's going on here?
You know, And not everybody needs Intune, or maybe not even everybody wants to get to Intune. You know, here's what's funny, right? So you moved Intune because you have machines that aren't necessarily on the LAN.
Right.
Right. So you got a bunch of devices that maybe aren't even necessarily Windows laptops and desktops.
Yeah. And I always thought that was the big thing, is this is about MDM. Right, I got iPads I got to live with, and SCCM is just not going to run on it.
It's so funny, because the MDM, you're not incorrect. The original thesis of Intune was that whole MDM use case, but
right,
it has gotten, they have added so many things to Intune that it's almost like much, much more than an MDM tool. You can do MDM things with it. You can enroll devices and, you know, push down applications and inventory devices and swipe them and all the MDM stuff. But over time, Microsoft has, I think, listened to the admins who wanted some of the SCCM type things in an MDM tool, and they've brought it in. I mean, you can do group policy
right
in Intune. It ain't easy. It's remarkably complex to do if you've got custom group policy. But after a whole lot of people screaming really loud, they brought in a bunch of really cool things. So the lines are kind of fuzzy then, in terms of the use case for one versus the other. Here's the counterexample.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're an SCCM shop, you can actually put a cloud management gateway, essentially a virtual machine up in Azure somewhere, that becomes then the connecting point. So your distribution point, your management point there, for the machines that are out in the rest of the world. They talk to Azure. Azure handles all the firewall stuff.
Right.
There's a secure connection from that to the rest of your internal stuff. And so you can get a full SCCM experience without Intune, with CMG, and then do it that way. So yes, the answer is very gray because the two solutions are kind of fading into each other.
Sure. It strikes me that SCCM has, you know, come from on-premises only into the cloud, and Intune is in the cloud and poking into our premises.
It's actually, I don't think I've heard it put so well. That's actually, you know, that's actually a pretty good point. You think about it. If you've got, I don't know, if you've got 1,000 people in a office environment somewhere, I know right. We're talking pre-pandemic and, you know, life here, but you got 1,000 people in an office somewhere, having all those people go to the internet for all their stuff is kind of silly.
Yes.
So having, you know, a distribution point, several distribution points that are on the network, it kind of makes more sense because you keep everything contained. But for those that are out in the rest of the world, having to come into your environment and
seems absurd also.
Yeah, it's also sort of bizarre.
And the pandemic has just amplified all of this. Suddenly so many people were remote.
It actually has. You know, you and I were talking before this about, like I said, my own personal journey. And as a person who actually has done several courses now on Intune and has some experience with it, I started with a very adversarial relationship with Intune.
Like most SCCM people, I'm afraid.
Yeah, I did. I'm writing these courses and I'm delivering these courses on it. And I'm like, Intune, you need to prove to me why you're awesome.
Yes.
Like, I'm doing the courses. And I have to say, like, if you watch, and it's not intended to be an advertisement for the courses, but if you listen to them, you could actually hear over the 8 or 12 or 16 hours, I forgot how long they are, but you could actually hear my own evolution, because there's a couple of points where even I go, wow, that's how that works. Cool.
You know? Nice. Okay. So, and your first one is this Endpoint Manager, Microsoft Intune. So you, at that point, you have SCCM via Endpoint Manager.
What it really comes down to, so let's say you, person in the audience listening to this, if you're trying to decide which of these products makes most sense for you, I like to use the term lightweight and heavyweight.
Right.
That's what I've kind of consolidated on as the best description. If your requirements are more heavyweight in nature, and I'm not going to describe it any further than that, I'm going to let you decide what that means. But if your requirements for the management level of control for those machines are more heavyweight in nature, then SCCM has the instrumentation to support those requirements. If your requirements are more lightweight in nature, then Intune is going to be definitely an easier solution. Once it's set up, it takes some like brain, you know, blending to get yourself with your mind wrapped around it. But once it's set up, then there's not the same level of instrumentation. That's okay. Mm-hmm. Because you might not want that.
Yeah.
Our environment here, so at Pluralsight, we have a lot of remote people. Even before the pandemic, we had a lot of remote people. And I remember walking into the office my very first day of work. I'm like, okay, what's my domain username? And they're like, yeah, we don't actually have an active directory.
We don't do domains here. That's wild. Such a big organization and not have AD.
Mind blowing.
Yeah.
Right? As a person who, like, that's just been par for the course for my entire career.
You didn't think it was a question. You just needed to know the what it was.
Okay, what's my password?
Yeah.
And they're like, yeah, we don't have one.
Yeah. It's just as crazy. Although maybe it's just that we live in a bubble, that we're live in AD land and everything is AD.
It is true. And that whole realization. So it took me several years of just kind of stewing on it and thinking about this. Microsoft uses the term modern, and I hate that word.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Because of the insinuations that everything else is old and
exactly
bad.
Yeah.
But this modern approach where this idea of having this centralized, I mean, let's be honest, it's an LDAP tool. But this centralized LDAP tool doesn't make the same amount of sense when most of your, which is the case with us, when most of your applications are cloud-based.
Yeah.
Virtually all of them are. And I may almost go as far as to say as all of them are. But when all of your applications or almost all of them are cloud-based, you don't need or even really want an on-premises Active Directory solution like,
right.
Like Active Directory. So now take what I just said and then replace Active Directory. So replace the word domain controller with the word SCCM. If you're an environment where you have all these different solutions that are out there, that the applications that you use, and they're generally cloud-based, do you really need an SCCM?
Right.
Because you're more about managing the cloud-based applications than you are the ones that are sitting inside your local data center.
So is this a ratio thing? I mean, I don't know that I know any organizations that is Windows free, but how many Windows, if I've got certain number, you know, large number of Windows machines, and I know SCCM will manage them better, that has, you know, minor skills into the non-Windows platform things versus Intune, which clearly came to be non-Windows first and is getting better with Windows. Like, what do I need here? Like, if it's mostly mobile, then Intune seems to make sense. Or do or should I have both?
And therein lies the rub.
Right.
So if you've been in the space for any period of time, you know that there is this co-management configuration between Intune and Configuration Manager. What I don't think a lot of people know, though, this is the secret gotcha when you start thinking about co-management.
Mm-hmm.
And that is that co-management between SCCM and Intune does not mean that the two of them are going to be managing individual activities at the same time. There actually is there's a dialogue box. There's a tab somewhere deeply buried after you connect the two together. So you initiate the co-management connection where you've got like these master toggle switches. You just throw the lever and it says, okay, for each of these activities, who does it?
Right.
So is it software deployment? Is it update deployment? Is it desired state management? Is it, I'm actually forgetting all the options, but there's, you know, 7 or 8 or 6 or 8 different major classes of activities that you kind of have to throw that lever over to Intune, and then Intune manages it and SCCM manages the other components.
Interesting. Given you're coming from an SCCM perspective, but I imagine anybody who's starting with Intune probably would never get to SCCM.
And I can't necessarily say that either. Again, it goes back to that lightweight, heavyweight approach.
Right.
There are going to be some types of situations, very complex software installs. If you really want like really, really detailed inventory data, you're going to go SCCM
right.
or Intune. The kinds of things that Intune really wants are more MDM oriented. So they're very cautious, very, very friendly towards the personally identifiable data on there. It's very cautious towards it being a employee owned device and what it actually right. gathers there.
Which not how SCCM thinks at all.
Not how SCCM sort of assumes that
yeah.
the device is owned by the company.
Every time.
That even goes as far as to say is that it needs to be owned by the company.
That's a very fundamental philosophical difference. And Greg, I'm going to interrupt for one moment for this very important message. SCCM, Intune, and Autopilot are great for managing your on-premises systems and your remote work PCs. Just fire up SCCM or Intune and make your policies, and it's off to work. Or is it? Actually, your real challenges begin where SCCM and Intune end. But don't panic, you've got Policy Pack. Policy Pack integrates with SCCM and Intune, so you'll get the power you need during a rollout with Autopilot and MDM. With Policy Pack, you'll be able to remove local admin rights, yet enable standard users to install software or overcome UAC prompts, block unknownware, and dynamically configure the Windows 10 start screen, taskbar, and file associations, manage deployed applications and browser settings. It's your full toolkit to pick up where SCCM and Intune leave off. As a bonus, you can use Policy Pack with Intune to transfer any real on-premises Group Policy ADMX, Group Policy Security, and Group Policy Preferences settings to your machines, on-premises and with remote work machines. Learn how thousands of other administrators enhance SCCM, Intune, Autopilot, plus handle their on-premises and remote work configurations with Policy Pack. Come to policypack.com/remotework to learn more. That's policypack.com/remotework. Policy Pack. Securing your standards. And we're back. It's Run As Radio. I'm Richard Campbell. That's Greg Shields talking a bit about Intune and this sort of path that I think a lot of people have been on, coming from SCCM and looking at the role of Intune in this equation. And obviously the mobile part is important. But I don't necessarily want to go through every one of those toggles you mentioned in the first half, but it's like, are there things that Intune does better?
Yeah. Well, gosh, then that's even hard to say. It's such a complex story, because the answer is yes and the answer is no at the same time.
Right.
There are two different solutions. There are two different approaches for us accomplishing some of the same tasks. Like I said, the idea of being able to very easily now extend out the reach of SCCM mm-hmm. into the cloud very trivially is like, that's a big win on the part of SCCM.
Right.
If you want to go down that path. For the longest time when I was either doing, SMS or SCCM or later on, you know, teaching it, I used to make the joke with SCCM and SMS because they both had this capacity for doing internet-based client management or IBC. One of them is a nuclear missile and one of them is an approach. IBCM. Yes. Internet-based client management.
Very close to ICBM. Very
yes,
close.
Yes. And I want to make sure I don't.
Are you managing machines or destroying the world?
Codes.
Yeah. You don't know which yes. one.
but for the longest time, you know, you teach people this IBCM and the asterisk at the bottom of it would be, I've never actually seen anyone do this in the wild.
I love it.
It was inordinately complex and it involved certificates back in the days when nobody really understood certificates all that well. And like, there was a long period of time where I'm certain it was out there, but I myself had never actually seen it in the wild. And that the complexity of that was replaced by this very simple solution with a cloud management gateway that sits out there. That's it's elegant in its simplicity and how it just overcame the need to punch holes in the wrong direction through your on-premises firewalls.
Yeah. You know, and it's, you're right. It's that focus. And this is where the cloud is magical, right? It's like, stop trying to punch holes into your firewall to do that administrative stuff internally when the cloud will do it for you and everybody talks to the cloud.
Oh yeah. No, I finally got a chance to see the Azure application firewall. So the Azure Active Directory application firewall.
Yeah.
And wow, have you seen that, Richard? Have you ever turned that on?
Yes. Tell me all about it.
It's cool.
It is like, pretty
it's
cool.
One screen, and you get yourself a publicly resolvable address, and suddenly you're routing inside the network. And I'm like, okay, well, why didn't we have this like 20 years ago?
It's
like,
one of those magic powers.
Yeah, I have goosebumps now just thinking about it. Like, not only that, but the fact that it's something I would be comfortable actually implementing. That's the exciting part.
Because it fundamentally, you're still landing the data in all the same places. You're just solving that connectivity problem.
Yeah, not having to punch holes in firewalls. So I guess the short of the story here is that if you haven't played with Intune, get yourself an eval subscription, get yourself a couple of devices, get a laptop and, just turn it on, you know, and kind of do it. Don't connect it to anything, but turn it on and kind of just spend a minute with it.
Right.
There's a lot of things in there that don't make any sense at first. I will freely admit that the enrollment process, so the actual way that you bootstrap the clients into being enrolled, it's still a little rough around the edges. Mm-hmm. It's way better than it used to be. When Microsoft, not first released it, but the last round of Intune work I did, I think there were 11 different ways in which you can enroll clients.
It's at least 10 too many. At least.
It's way, but because of the different use cases. So,
right.
Like, did you install the operating system? Did somebody else install the operating system? Are they an admin? Are they not an admin? Are they not an admin and way out on the other side of the world?
Yeah.
Like, did you drop ship the machine to them? And do you want them to be able to like open up the machine and it just be automatically enrolled?
Right. The autopilot effect.
Oh, correct. Which is really cool if you like subscribe fully into it, you know, actually pay for it there from your provider.
Oh no, autopilot, we've done a whole show on it just because it is so cool, but it's a full commit. You don't go lightly into autopilot.
No, and you got to pay for it too. If you want to do it right, you got to pay for it. If you're going to get the benefits out of it, I should say, you got to pay for it.
I don't know what the magic number of machines are that you suddenly like you should be doing this with autopilot. But the whole I don't want to physically touch the machine, I want to drop ship directly, especially with everybody working from home.
Right.
Where it's not all going to, you got 30 new machines, you're going to bring them all in the office, touch them all, repack them, and ship them again. geez, you know, that's, I don't know what extra, that, 30, it seems apparent you want autopilot.
Five? The extra $2 or $3 per machine suddenly starts to make sense.
It's trivial. But if it's only five machines, you know, then we talk. But it is interesting where that line is.
So back to my call to action for the folks that are listening in. So if you do get all those resources and, you know, turn on the subscription, you are going to come to an immediate hurdle there with the enrollment process, because it just doesn't bloody make any sense at first. It just doesn't. Like, and the instrumentation is like, Microsoft now has, they use those like fun words now instead of words in control panel and in the settings. And so they went way too far in putting fun words in there instead of actually useful words.
Oh.
And when you go to like export out the log file, the log files, then like the difficulty level ramps up by three orders of magnitude and you have no idea what you're looking at.
Yeah.
So if you can push through that enrollment process, on the other side is sort of this magic nirvana of all these really cool things that you can do that really will be attractive to you.
Mm-hmm.
So that's my call to action is, you get yourself an account, get some resources,
get a few devices,
get the devices, spend the time hitting your head against the wall, with the enrollment process, and then make your decision.
What about the policy side?
That's actually, let me explain how MDM deals with policies. That's different from, I guess, what we're used to in regular Windows or old Windows.
Yeah.
The biggest difference is, so when you think about the policy engine for MDM, Microsoft actually has to pre-configure both the questions and the answers into Windows before you can address it.
Okay.
Right. So baked into that policy engine, there's going to be a list of questions that Microsoft thinks are important for that machine to for you to have that instrumentation. And if they don't exist, right? So if Microsoft hasn't gotten to the point where they've encoded that particular setting into Windows itself, you're not going to be able to, you're not going to be able to use it with the traditional policy engine that MDM and that Intune provides.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what's curious about it is because it's baked into the system, any MDM solution can address those things. So if you're using Intune or if you're using Workspace ONE with VMware or any of the other tool, Mobile Iron, whatever, all the tools that are out there, essentially just address what those policy items are and then flip the bit to enable or disable things. This is quite a bit different from how people sort of reverse engineered or hacked things there and have done so with SCCM.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of times, in order to create a behavior with SCCM, you have to go in and like hack registry keys and move files around and make changes to things. It's still very different. That is still the case today with SCCM, but that policy engine is essentially all the buttons to flip and all the knobs to turn that you'll see there as you start creating actual policies in the interface. Where Microsoft it took them a long time to come to the realization, actually to act upon people's requests, is that nowadays it actually is possible for you to import in custom group policy to get around any of those limitations. And the process to do so is mind-numbingly difficult, but it can be done. It's bizarre. You actually have to, let me see how this works. You have to find the ADMX and ADML files that you created.
Yeah.
So like you go to Citrix's ADMX file or whatever. And you have to extract out the XML. No, sorry. You copy and paste the XML into a policy. You then synchronize the policy. And then it shows up as a new list of questions on the device by GUID. And then you take the GUID and then change the value of the GUID with this. I have no idea what the language is. Through another policy that then adjusts it. So you have one policy that inserts the questions and another policy that inserts the answers.
Wow. That is
very powerful, super powerful, but really,
yes,
really difficult.
No, it's if it's, you know, like adding your registry, it's like doing brain surgery on yourself. And if you screw it up, it'll be too late to do anything about it.
Yeah. The nice part though is that because of the way it's done, like you can go through and make changes to it too. Hmm. So rather than hacking things and having a tendency to tattoo things, it's underneath all that ridiculous complexity is it's smartly done. There's just the surfacing of how it then is done in the interface just hasn't been built yet.
Right. What about onboarding and offboarding compared between SCCM and Intune? Because I would think one of the strengths Intune's got is it's the employee's device. It has some stuff in it that's from work, but we can easily say, take all that out.
Yes. So if you're talking about employee-owned devices, it's going to be Intune.
Right.
Yeah, almost certainly, because it's designed around that from the get-go.
Yeah, that shared device model where SCCM just presumes sole control of the device. Although I can't recall offboarding a device in SCCM at all. Generally, just wipe the machine.
Generally, yeah. And you think about it, it's with SCCM, the classic use case has been that it's been a company-owned machine.
Yeah.
So in SCCM, what you do is you run a task sequence to, spit down a new OS with all of your custom configurations.
Right.
And
you just
that task sequence will install apps and all that.
Is the app install story really all that different between Intune and SCCM?
At its core, no. So there is still the art of software packaging that is required.
Mm-hmm.
Like the options in SCCM for how to deploy them down are far more robust.
Right.
Way, way more robustness there in terms of.
Well, and then this was one of the points you made earlier on was as soon as you get to a really complicated install, you might get frustrated with Intune, but SCCM can probably do it.
Yes. Yeah. That is one of the important reasons why that's all there. And mostly it is as robust as it is because. And it's been around a lot longer.
Right.
Intune's been around for 10 years or so.
Yeah, they've dealt with all those edge cases of crazy apps that needed crazy things.
Yep. And for the longest time, so even if Intune's been around for 10 or 11 years, for the first half of that, they weren't concerned about that so much.
Right.
And Microsoft went down that, we all know this story, Microsoft went down the path of everyone will be doing modern applications. And
the big lie.
And so for the first half of its life cycle, it was mostly focused on deploying down applications there from the Windows catalog, like the Windows Store.
Yes.
Or Microsoft Store for Business, which is now deprecated. So it took a wholesale reversal on the part of Microsoft to realize that people were just not going to do modern applications if they wanted them to.
No, we are not going to, even when all the tools and support you've given us, we are not taking existing working code and putting it in a new wrapper or rebuilding it. It's not happening. There's thousands and thousands of apps, and they may or not be buildable anymore, and nobody wants to touch them, just run them.
And it's just far too difficult. Yeah.
Yeah. It is the reality for any IT person on the ground. It's one of those fundamental distortions that Microsoft always had. It's like, you're not listening to your customer. Your customer is not going to touch this code. Not. You have to be able to run it externally. I mean, it's interesting when you think about it from an IT perspective. You know, we got one of the things we did with VMs was isolate badly behaved apps. You know, that it was a wrapper where we didn't have to touch the code and could contain it. And I'm still digging into more virtual desktop topics around this. Hey, here's this old app, not rebuildable and not optional, but also security problems, behavior problems, so forth. Like, can we do virtual desktop for this thing and protect it and keep it running till we can move off and retire it? Something.
They're critical, and this is opinion, but they're, in my opinion, their critical failure was that they were very late to that ballgame.
Yeah.
By the time the any kind of embrace or awareness of modern apps even started to hit folks, we already had Appvi in place.
Yeah.
We already had Citrix's app virtualization solutions.
Yeah.
We had VMware's virtualization solutions. And so people had already been hit over the head a couple of times with rewrapping apps. And then these modern apps come out and the wrapping process is not trivial.
Yes.
It requires code. And you can't, like, if you've got a third party app from some company that doesn't exist anymore, you can't just dig into that code sometimes.
No.
to get it rewrapped like that. The comparative simplicity of the other tools in creating app virtualization and shims and what have you, putting it outside the application, was the downfall of the whole modern app approach.
Yeah.
It's just way too difficult for folks that are on, out in the field and on the ground.
Yeah. And the folks that care about that are the people that don't have, aren't the one necessarily one that have that skills. And the ones with the skills are not interested in doing that. Like, it just was a trap, and it didn't actually address the issue. And it's interesting to me that, you know, it's easy for us to say, let's just use Intune, but it's like, listen, you live in an ecosystem, and that ecosystem has software of, you know, decade plus span easy. And you may or may not be able to use these new tools on those things. So you got to tread carefully. I'm, for one, I'm glad that the two products aren't hostile to each other. They really do divide up the work. They understand that each other exists.
Yes. And will continue to for the indeterminate future. That is the.
Yeah. Virtually indefinitely, I imagine.
Very, very, very telegraphed piece of news.
Yeah. Yeah. And just because there are things that SCCM already does today that Intune likely will never get to.
Yep. And I think if I...
And that's knowing nothing under no NDAs, just doing simple math. Like, it's not going to happen.
You know, I have to admit to you, Richard, that if I ever had to go back and get a real job, you know...
I wouldn't hire me. I'm really difficult.
I would go and I would be one or the other, probably both, actually. I think my dream job in IT would be an SCCM/Intune administrator.
Yeah.
I don't know if I think I would love to do that. I just, you know, in a world these days where
you got complicated problems every day for sure. Like,
yeah, in a world these days where the server folks are the ones getting all the accolades and all the Azure stuff is, you know, very, very server folks, developer oriented. You know, there's the deepest part of my heart still kind of warms for desktop administration. It's still, I think, personally where my love lies. And to those people that are out there, folks that are listening, if you feel the same way, if you're a desktop admin like me and you know that people don't understand us, but we love this job, I totally get it, because it's a great job.
It is a great job. And it is a great complicated problem that really helps people when you get it right. And it is visible. You know, so much of our IT work is invisible. When you can restore a machine, when you can keep things configured, when you can elegantly offboard a machine, an employee-owned device, like all of that, it's magic when it's done right and people get to see it. We do magic every day that's generally invisible, but when you do visible magic, that's a good day.
Yes, sir.
Greg, always fun to talk to you. Thanks so much for coming back on the show and congratulations on the great course. I think it's very valuable.
Very much so. Thanks for the invite.
You bet. And we'll talk to you next time on Run As Radio.